Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit.
I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
It is Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Man, some of these days, a lot of these days, I got to be honest with you, I have to stare at the date on my computer as I say what date it is because I just don't have that shit in my head whatsoever. And if I don't like read each number, I'm gonna throw out like a different year, month. I don't know if you heard like the February, you know, because I'm just way off at that shit. I don't know. So, yeah, I got a few things to talk about, obviously. A lot of Super Bowl talk to talk about. Couple different things. You know, just been doing the same fucking thing, you know, working, training. You know, not much outside of that. Haven't watched a whole lot of wrestling in this past week, so gotta be a little light on that. But I definitely have some things to talk about wrestling-wise. To start out, man, Well, I guess let's just stick with the fitness side of thing for a second. But you know what fucking irks me? Like, the people that go to the fucking gym, their work ethic is shit. The thing is, you know, like I said, man, there's always going to be people who lift more than me, who do, you know, above and beyond what I put out there. I'm not one of these dudes that says I can outwork everybody. That's fucking crazy. But I do outwork a whole large percentage of the people who go to the motherfucking gym. And I only know that because I see these motherfuckers show up there in fucking fitteds, crispy motherfucking fitteds, brim straight as shit, not a sweat stain on the motherfucker, and they do their whole fucking regiment, show up the next fucking day, another different crispy fitted and shit. These motherfuckers are here to stay in there. I mean, it's fucking crazy. They're here to stand there. And these are the motherfuckers that show up there in tank tops and, you know, with their fucking silly little tattoos with fucking skulls and flowers all over it, which, you know, hey, man, it is what it is. I'm just not a fan of skulls and flowers. So that's why, you know, I have my obvious theme with my tats and stuff. And I do want to get more tats, and I have a couple ideas and different things I want to do. But as far as filling space, you know, it's a little more difficult because I'm such a picky asshole. When it comes down to it, the majority of people's tattoos, if they have sleeves, show me people with sleeves that don't have a skull or a flower in there. It's generally what people fill space with. Number one, and I didn't even plan on going on this rant, but I might as well. Number one, flowers. I like flowers as far as planting them, growing them, looking at them, taking pictures of them, all of those type of things. I don't want to wear flowers. I wouldn't wear a shirt with flowers all over it, so why permanent fucking shirt on myself with flowers all over it? I just feel like that's a silly idea, and there's so many fucking dudes with flowers on them. And, you know, hey, man, if that's your thing, that's your thing. You know, it is what it is. So it's not, you know, a knock on the people who do it. I just don't really understand it. And then skulls, I am in the huge minority of people who don't like skulls. I straight up don't like skulls. It's not like a fear of them or anything like that. I just don't understand what the fascination is. It's like, you know, does anybody get all fucking excited about, you know, the body of a car without the fucking, you know, the frame of a car, or a house without any of the fucking paneling on it? You know, you take off the fucking, you know, the plywood and the shingling and the siding or whatever you got on your house and just rip it down to the 2x4s. Does anyone have one of those fucking tattooed on them? I don't understand why the underneath of the body is so fucking fascinating. I mean, I guess all the horror movies and this, but it's like take your fucking body, fucking die, and then let your shit rot and decompose to the point where there's nothing fucking left of you but bone, and then now let's celebrate that. I feel like it's the weakest form of your fucking body. Removing all muscle mass, removing every single bit that would make you an individual whatsoever, and just painting it as a skull. And I guess, you know, it's the morbid, it's the death, the tough guys. I don't know. I just never got it. You know what I mean? And it annoys me because it's become such a universal symbol of tough guy shit and like the fucking death and I'm a dude. And I just fucking don't like it. I own a very few things with skulls on it, and it's never purchased because it has a skull on it. That's for goddamn sure. I just don't get it. So as far as like filling space with tattoos and stuff like that, it can't be a skull or any of that type of shit. It definitely can't be a flower. So, you know, it leaves you with a little bit of different options and things to think about. People I think it's fucking asinine to put tiger stripes on yourself, but I have a way bigger tie to that type of thing. You know, the stripes of an animal, you know, that's, you know, had a way stronger dominant, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that tie into that. It's I'm not even explaining it accurately, really, because it's not that simple. It's something I just admire as far as, or I should say it's more simple than that. It's just something I admire the look of, and I've always been a cat fan. And, you know, me being who I am, it just completely fits me. So, I mean, that's why I went the route that I did. But, you know, teach their own. Anyway, these fucking people in the gym with their fucking tank tops and their fucking crispy fitteds on with the fucking, with no sweat, they walk around looking at people like they're looking for a fucking fight in there. And I'm just, you know, I try to just zone the fuck out on the music. You know, I put together my fucking playlist. There's like 160, which I'm all over the place tonight. But does anybody out there know, and I know I'm just talking to my fucking self, so I'm going to have someone listen to this and then hit me back up. I might as well just post this shit on Facebook later or Google it, but I'll just put this. Does anybody know if you could do an on-the-go playlist like you could with the iPod? pod with the iPhone? Because I don't know of that. I have my playlist, and I know I could hit shuffle and that type of thing. If I hit edit, it seems like it's doing different things. I just want to be able to pull out, you know, 30 songs off of my 160 and say, okay, here's my tonight's, at least the start of my gym thing. So I don't know, but having a problem with that. But anyway, I try to zone out and just do my fucking thing in the gym. I don't ever try to. And it's funny too, because sometimes you'll lock eyes with somebody and it's like you realize you've been looking in a direction for a minute, but you're doing your thing and you're just looking in that direction. A lot of times you look through people at the fucking gym if you're really, you know, focusing on what you're doing. It's just a direction you're looking in. It's no longer, you know, you're looking at some dude or, you know, chick or whatever. But, you know, anyway, wrestling-wise, there's this thing that's been going on Facebook for a while with Pinky Sanchez has some form of issues with Edwin Crespo, or Buffy from the Christopher Street Connection, as he is also known. Pinky has a podcast called The Pinky and Cloud Show, which is Pinky and this other guy I never heard of that's like a New York wrestler or something, Cloud, which I think is Sydney something, Sydney Cloud. So, nah, like I said, I never heard of the guy as a wrestler or whatever. The two of them pretty much just talk shit about New York wrestlers that, for the most part, you've never heard of. They also, you know, bash Edwin, you know, Buffy, whatever you want to call him, who hasn't wrestled in 15 years. So, anyway, they also go in on the Facebook, and they're always, you know, it's constant bashing. And apparently, from what I read today, Edwin's girlfriend was threatening, or... No, it wasn't Edwin's girlfriend, I'm sorry. A girl who Edwin is friends with threatening to fight Pinky, and Edwin is now accusing Pinky of filing charges on this chick for threatening him. So there's that. In other related news, as far as the Pinky and all that New York drama scene goes, Pinky in the Cloud had said on their last show that Joel of the SATs, you know, Joel Maximo, his girlfriend or wife had shot Joel in the arm last year. And Joel walked around claiming that he broke his arm, like pretty much through the skin, doing a moonsault on in training, that it wasn't, you know, even in an actual match, but he was trying to play it off as a wrestling injury, and that the real story is that his wife shot him in the arm. So it's really you know, crazy nonsense goes on in fucking New York indies as far as I'm concerned, and it's like these guys, their life revolves around that. And it, you know, I touched on it a little bit last week, but my thing is this: like, Pinky to me is a guy who I think has a lot of talent. He's a guy who I think, you know, always had a lot of charisma. He can wrestle. I mean, the dude can go. I mean, I've seen him do crazy shit even in, like, the deathmatch realm. He was in Tournament of Death, for Christ's sake. But, I mean, beyond that, I mean, the guy can fucking go. He can do a lot. He's got a shitload of energy. You know, he's gotten into different areas and different places and wrestled Sabu and all sorts of different people. He was in Dragon Gate. He was in a lot of places. But I think when a guy like him ties himself to these bullshit fucking New York fucking indie drama nonsense, I don't understand what you can possibly accomplish with your career doing that type of thing. I think it's such a waste of time. It's just an immense waste of time. But it's these type of things that these people do, and it just holds them back. It'll keep them locked on the bottom. As long as they stay hanging around the bottom, talking about people you've never fucking heard of, the less you're going to actually hear of them doing something. You know what I mean? And it's a shame to me. I mean, it is what it is. Everyone makes their own decisions. But to see people burying themselves for the sake of burying nobodies is just, it's ridiculous. You know, and I mean, you could put yourself over and yourself up real big, but like I said, it is what it is. The talent is there, but what's being accomplished? I'll talk to him next week, and you can, you know, hear him. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. And like I said, I don't know anything about the whole Joel thing. I don't know, you know, what truth lies behind it, but I mean, they're putting that shit out there publicly. They're saying homicide was there and all these other things. I think it's fucking bananas. And I mean, it really wouldn't surprise me, not because I know Joel or his wife or anybody like that. I don't know any of them. But Joel was on the show. He was really nice and, you know, good dude that way. But I don't know anything about any of them. But it just seems like the theme of things as far as the New York indie scene goes is there's just a lot of bullshit fucking drama. A lot of over-the-top bullshit drama that goes on. And that just seems to be the big theme as far as that. So it's fucking crazy. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Give me one second. So, all right. I don't know if that shit comes through on the air or what. It's like, it's fucking weird. And I love telling people to hold on a fucking podcast because it's the best possible radio that you could put out there. But I've never claimed to be professional. I got to start busting out my fucking my drop of the week. You know, so, I mean, I would be professional.
Because I died from an accident.
Yeah, I couldn't. Because, you know.
Because I died from an accident.
Yeah, because I died from an accident. So, but like I said, it's just crazy. I don't know. Like, I get fucking texts, and all of a sudden, my fucking thing is ringing in my speakers. I don't know if it rings through the goddamn show too. So, if you guys hear Gizmo singing, that's my text tone. So that is what it is. I got to remember, like, stop fucking texting people before the show. So if it does come through, I don't know any fix or professional solution to any of this shit. It's insane. Anyway, apparently Chris Dickinson worked ROH this past weekend. He did the Ohio show. I think he wrestled Michael Elgin, which sounds fucking awesome, especially as like a debut to wrestle another big bad motherfucker like Michael Elgin. And the thing is here is, hey, man, this is just, as far as I'm concerned, I think, now, unless ROH passes on him and doesn't have anything for him, which I personally doubt, I could see this being the end of Dickinson and CZW. And again, I don't know anything, you know, to say, hey, this is definitely it, or, you know, well, this is, you know, I don't have any facts backing it to say, oh, well, he got signed and now he's done with this or whatever. But ROH is one of these big indie contract companies. If they see value in him, which honestly I can't see how they couldn't, especially, you know, Dickinson put out there on Facebook more or less that, look, man, like I, you know, spent all sorts of time watching Ring of Honor and always wanted to be there. And I finally got the opportunity and I couldn't be prouder and this and that. And like, he is, you know, really, really, you know, putting out there emotionally what it means to him to be working there and shit. So I'm sure that Ring of Honor got everything that he could put out there, and he seemed very happy with his match and everything like that. So, you know, they sign him, that's the end of fucking Chris Dickinson and CZW, because there's not going to be any pay-per-views on a CZW card, and you're not going to use the guy for fucking dark matches. I mean, what fucking sense would that make? You sure as fuck can't push a guy in a dark match. And to me, it's just, it's another classic example, and I'm happy for that somewhere he legitimately wants to be and he gets a chance to be there. I mean, that's what it's all about, is these guys, you know, on the indie level and stuff, whatever they are striving to do, you know, you hope they fucking achieve that. If a guy only aspires to be in Japan, fucking by all means, I want to see that guy get to Japan. if a guy wants to get to the WWE, you'd love to see him show up on WWE TV, which most people, you know, that's their deal. And I'm not saying, you know, the end all is Dickinson wants to be in ROH, nothing more, but it's definitely one of the big things for him. And, you know, seeing him have go there and be happy about it is awesome. You know, a lot of this, and it kind of goes back to what I've been saying about the whole fund me, go fund yourself fucking bullshit, is that what's the end game? I mean, if these guys are going to go through their careers, their quote-unquote careers, wrestling at 20-something years old, they're already begging for money. What happens at 45 years old? You know what I mean? When all the fucking windows start closing real tight, and you are where you are, hit 45 years old. Traveling indie shows ain't going to fucking do it. You're going to have another hustle. You're either going to get somewhere on a big league, but most aren't. I mean, you look at, really, look at the indies. You think fucking, do you think 40% of the indies will wind up in WWE? Because I think that would be extremely exaggerated. Extremely exaggerated. Yeah, I would think probably 10 to 15%. So you got to say like 90% of the indies are going to need some shit to do by the time they're fucking 50. So, I mean, if they're painting all these fucking windows shut with carving their foreheads to shit, no one's going to want to look at them for a job and they're going to need something to do. What's the end game? And my thing is, while they're here in, on the indies, while they're here in wrestling, doing what they want to do because it's something they want to do, not because it's going to make a fucking life for them, because it's really not. I mean, any delusion that it's going to is just that. It's a delusion. Unless you're striving hard and you're trying to get somewhere and you're one of those 10%ers that wind up on the WWE or that type of thing. Or maybe go over to Japan and make a living out of wrestling that way. But again, by the time you hit 50 or something, man, not everybody's fucking Ric Flair. And even that guy, he's working with fucking borrowed time over there. You know, what are we talking about? Because, I mean, people are living to fucking 80, 90, 100 years old. If you stopped wrestling at 50, where is that other 50 years worth of money coming from? Because I can't imagine. There's no retirement packages. There's none of that shit going on. So, but within the time of you wrestling is what I'm trying to say. You got to accomplish what the fuck you're trying to accomplish. You know, if you always wanted to work for a certain fucking company, get there. By all means, fucking get there. So, like I said, I'm happy for the dude. As far as CZW goes, if it is going to be the end of him in CZW, it's another classic example of DJ Hyde completely dropping the ball on fucking talent. Straight up. I feel he completely dropped the ball on Biff Busick. Biff is pretty much gone now as far as I'm concerned. He left to pursue other things from what I've read and everything on the internet, but he's also working every other wrestling company but CZW. So I think the other things he's pursuing is not working CZW. They pretty much wasted his time there. I mean, he had a handful of good matches in there for sure. And, he's a great performer, but they spent the majority of his time there wrapped up in a Niles Young storyline, being Niles Young's fucking sidekick, and then under Niles Young, and then up against Niles Young, and then gone. Chris Dickinson, they completely wasted his time on bullshit politics. Bullshit fucking backstage politics that are all pretty fucking public now. And didn't use him in the company when he was the most over fucking thing that they had going. And for bullshit politics and allowing other people to make decisions in your own fucking company, DJ, you just let them fucking go. And then you pretended, you see, there is so much that goes on there. And they try to do the same thing. DJ tries to do the same thing that the WWE does. The WWE has a habit of saying, hey, fuck you. You don't like it? Well, shit, you might not like next week either, because we're going to be doing a lot more of this. Oh, you don't like this? Good. Think you're mad this week. Wait till next week. WWE, can't afford to do that. They have so many different markets that they're catering to. You have the kids, you have the, you know, I mean, all sorts of age groups and all sorts of markets. And it's not just like the internet fans or whatever. CZW doesn't have that. The indies don't have that. You have your small crowd, your small group of people, a couple hundred fucking people that show up to your shows. That's not like a broad-based market that you can tell them, go fuck yourself if you don't like what we're doing. You better cater to your fucking audience or you won't have an audience. I mean, this isn't worldwide. Just because you fucking run over to Germany a couple times a year doesn't make you a fucking worldwide company. Just because there's 5 fans on your Facebook page that live in Germany doesn't mean you're fucking worldwide. People might know you in Japan. People might know you in Germany. I mean, let's be absolutely real about the money coming into CZW, because I've heard a million fucking interviews with DJ Pi that says he's not making a shitload of money. That is hard as fuck to keep shit going. So, I mean, you could bullshit me and go, oh, no, we're way bigger than bullshit. I mean, let's be fucking real. You know, it's ridiculous. You wouldn't have fucking wrestlers begging for money on the fucking internet if it was such a hugely successful company. And shit, I would love to see it hugely successful. But, like I said, the mentality of trying to turn shit into sandwiches or whatever you want to call it, where, you know, you go, Dickinson's not here, and that's what I want. It's like, dude, no, it's not. No, it's not. And the fucking internet is smarter than that, because everything leaks out fucking everywhere. You go read that fucking message board over there, and they'll fucking tell you the real deal on all this different shit that's going on that goes right onto the fucking internet. And the fans aren't fucking stupid. They don't, I mean, there's people that don't pay for the product. They just read that shit, catch whatever they catch offline, and that's it. And they know more than you're standing there to your paying customers and telling them, he's not here because I said so, because I'm the boss. Get the fuck out of here. So you wasted the majority of a year having the guy who's the most over guy in the company off of bullshit politics sitting fucking down. So now, if going into 2015, now you got him back and you think, now's the time that I could really fucking use him. And, you know, this isn't the WWE where you got the guy under contract and you can wait 6 months to pull the trigger. You wait, and now he works somewhere else. That's what the fuck happens. I mean, that's what happened with a lot of fucking guys. As far as I could see, Fox is gone. Fox was a mainstay in fucking CZW. And he fucking seems to be working everywhere else. He got hurt, and now he's working everywhere else with CZW. Andrew Everett, he's back for Best of the Best coming up, but he was a guy that was CZW. He was working there pretty steadily. He seems to be pretty much gone other than an occasional Best of the Best. We had Uha Nation for a little bit. I mean, you wouldn't even think to while you had that dude for a few months to really put a program behind him. And I know he got hurt. That was like a big fucking problem because he was going to be in Best of the Best, and that would have been huge. But, I mean, that was a guy that was in your fucking lap before a lot of people were booking him. I mean, you got to take advantage of this shit immediately. This guy should be in your fucking world title picture. Not even, I'm not saying, hey, throw the fucking belt on him because you have him for 3 months, but that guy should at least be fucking wrestling your champ while you got him. I think at the time it was like Masada or somebody, but still, fucking guy who books this crazy shit before someone else does. Why did Rich Swann and A.R. Fox have to wrestle and fucking evolve against each other before CZW ever booked it? Why is that? It's just, you know, it's that misconception, that fucking I'm better than that bullshit mentality where you think that you have 6 months, a year to pull the fucking trigger. And this is the result. You lose out on the fucking paydays. And that's it. You lose out on the big paydays of the big matches that people want to see, of the big pushes of people that should be pushed. And it just fucking, it is what it is. So, like I said, I'm happy for Dickinson, but if it is the end of him in CZW, did CZW get the best they could have out of him? No, absolutely not. I mean, you put him in a match in Cage of Death against DJ fucking Hyde, where DJ decided a month or two before the fucking show he's not even going to cut promos towards the thing because he's not going to wrestle much after Cage of Death. So he's not going to hype it. He's just going to let Dickinson cut promos. But on his side, he's not going to put any hype to it because, as he said on another podcast, he's taking time off after Cage of Death, so he didn't feel it was necessary to promote the match or to cut promos towards the match because he's going to be taking time off. So he completely buried the I know kayfabe is pretty much dead, but he completely buried the kayfabe of the match of who can possibly win this because he was already taking time off. So he took one of the most over guys in CZW, booked him against himself, and decided he didn't want any parts of really promoting it like it mattered. Made it the opener, did it for what it was, and that was it. It doesn't make any fucking sense. So that's the whole deal with Dickinson and CZW. If that is it for him there, but know that that's obviously his what he's going for. Roman Reigns, this whole Roman Reigns situation, I see a lot of people talking and asking, you know, opinions and questions and this and that. And, every podcast has an opinion on the situation. And Triple H did the little Stone Cold podcast thing. And I personally, some people are really amazed by the podcast and saying that, oh, here, you should take notes. And I don't think he really said anything that people don't already know. He kind of danced around the whole subject as far as the Roman Reigns situation. I mean, he said things aren't like they used to be, you know, fans are smarter now, blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is all well known. He said something along the lines of, like, Vince more or less books what he wants to happen. Like, says, like, I want Roman Reigns going to, you know, Mania, and then just find a way to make it happen. So, and then he kind of danced around saying, well, maybe it's bad. Maybe it's bad story writing. Maybe it's bad execution. Maybe it's bad this. Maybe it's bad that. Just gave a bunch of maybes and saying, well, maybe we fucked up. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. And, you know, the stories could always continue because we're a never-ending story. So you can't get mad now without knowing what's going to happen next. And I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, Roman Reigns is just not ready. His in-ring work is pretty basic as far as, you know, he's one of those guys that they say that whatever, five moves of doom. That's, you know, more or less what he's putting out there. It's just way for the, you know, opportunities pump up to his big, you know, Superman punch and this and all. And it's just he's not over. I mean, that's the main thing. If he was a heel and they were doing the same thing, it is what it is because he has a good enough look, and if he was a heel the whole time. I mean, if they turn him heel now just to kind of save the program, whatever. But, you know, to be a face and be getting booed so tremendously, that's not good. I don't give a fuck what era you're from or who you'd like to support in this situation. If he is that fucking booed and he's supposed to be a face, I mean, you look at The Rock's face when The Rock's trying to put him over and holding his arm up, and he's just got this confused look on his face, like, why are you guys fucking booing? This is amazing. I've never seen this. And it's bad to the point where now they're running this fast lane match where it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, and the winner goes to WrestleMania. I think Roman Reigns is still going to win the match. I think the best they can do to at least semi-fix the situation is make him heal between now and Mania. I don't imagine that Daniel Bryan is going to go over and go to Mania. I think that would actually be just disgraceful. I think it's already shitty because it's the Royal Rumble is supposed to mean something. No ifs, ands, or buts. You don't lose your fucking shot at Mania. You win the Rumble, you go to Mania. Period. And to even have a match between one guy who wasn't even in the Royal Rumble, and another guy who went out halfway through the Royal Rumble. It's not like I almost won, but then, you know, this bullshit happened. No, he got thrown out fair and square in the middle of the fucking Rumble. So it's crazy to, like, okay, now he's going to get a shot at the winner of the Rumble deal. I mean, it's not a fix. Putting Roman Reigns over was a bad idea. Like I said, when you put Big Show and Kane in the finale of that thing, I think that was their desperate attempt to force people to cheer him because they clearly weren't going to cheer the other two. No one wanted to see that. So I think they figured, well, they're going to have no choice but to cheer him because he's the only halfway decent idea to face Brock Lesnar at Mania. If it was Kane versus Brock Lesnar, I mean, come on. You're fucking abysmal. But I think that's what they did. Why wouldn't you put Daniel Bryan in the Final Four if you're even considering putting him near Mania? So it's just strange the way they went about it, and I think it was bad booking. And they could do what they want because they're a huge company. Whether fans like it or not, they exist. It doesn't really matter. The product has pretty much completely turned me off. I pop in here and there. I have the network, and I watch every pay-per-view. And, I mean, that's pretty much what it is with that. I don't know. I don't know that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar could turn out to be a good match. I really don't know that that can happen. But I guess we'll see. You know, it is what it is. On the other WWE-related type thing, Solomon Crowe, Sami Callihan, is soon to debut in NXT finally after about 2 years of being there. I think they're, at least I've heard, I haven't actually seen this. It's crazy because I watched NXT all the time before I got the network, and then I got the network, like when the network came out, and I barely watch NXT anymore. I don't know what it is. I do like NXT. I like a lot of what they do on there, but other than those like special events, I barely ever fucking watch NXT. And I keep also seeing Lucha Underground people debuting in Lucha Underground and this and that. I watched like the first couple episodes, and for whatever reason, haven't gone back to that either. I don't know. I'm not the most dedicated wrestling fan on a lot of areas here. I tried Rook Coffee, it's called. There's a joint in Jersey, actually a couple joints. I think it might have been Joey Janela. I think it was him. Posted something about the Rook Coffee being great, and then I saw a couple other people post. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the fucking best coffee ever. So I looked up their website, and, man, they have a whole shitload of selection. You know, you go light, medium, dark, roast, whatever, and then go down the line, and it like explains each type of coffee and shit. So I'm a big coffee guy. Not like an all the time coffee guy. I drink coffee in the morning, have to have a big ass cup in the morning. And then if I'm on a non-training day, that means I'm not taking any pre-workout stuff. Then, that night I'll do another big cup of coffee. It'll kind of balance out, you know, but, so that's only, you know, a day or two a week. But I'm not, you know, doing some form of training with the pre-workout. But it's awesome fucking coffee. I got the Bali and the Flores. I could be mispronouncing all of that shit. But great fucking coffee. If you go to rookcoffee.com, I should really have sponsors on this show for the way I put shit over, but I don't. They give me nothing. Tell them I sent you, and they'll ask you who the fuck is that. So, yeah, I mean, if you like good coffee, they got good shit over there. I ordered the whole bean so I could grind it up myself, fucking do it up in the Keurig. So, yep, that's what up. Speaking of pre-workout, I tried the shatter. I'm almost done with the container shatter because I go through this fucking pre-workout like a fucking crack fiend. It's ridiculous. Whatever their recommended dosage is, I'm doing more than that by the second time I use it. And, I go through this shit fucking crazy quick, and I'm not a big fan of the shatter. Not horrible, definitely had worse, but it's a little higher priced. I found it lower than initially. I think initially when I saw it, it was some
stupid shit, like $80. And I just looked at it like, oh, fucking, that's way out of my range. That shit can't work good enough to spend that much. And then I found it, and I think it was like, I want to say it was 40-something or something, where I normally spend maybe 30-something on the pre-workouts on Amazon. And I don't know. Not that big of a fan of it. It's all right. It's all right. But I was really impressed by the Bull Knox, though. Again, you know, way over the dosage. They tell you don't, I think they tell you don't exceed one scoop, and I was up to three. And they're big scoops, too, but that shit gave me some, like, real late workout strength. Like, real fucking serious shit where, like, you kind of surprise yourself on some of the numbers you're hitting or, you know, the extra reps. Like, you could definitely feel that shit. It's not just that initial I'm hyped to go workout pre-workout shit. It's something that really does kick in during your workout. I highly recommend that. That's Bull Knox. So check that. And then I got that other four wired stuff coming, because that's the next one I'm going to give a go. And I'll let you guys know how I feel about that. Let me see what else I got. I got a couple other things, but I'm going to take a break. And let me see. Got a couple of tracks here. Which one do I want to play? I'm going to go with this one.
Fuck what he say, C-A-S-S-I-D-Y, the dope's out. Every time I open my mouth, another MC dies. Whatever you need, I can provide, but you can't get it for free.
Wow.
Mickey D's been had billions and still ain't giving out free fries. They think I'm a rapper, but I'm a trapper in these skies. Hustling is in my blood, is in my jeans, Louis vibes.
Yep.
But yo, ladies, please don't believe them feet lies. Get it right, my big pipe ain't got shit to do with my feet size.
Nah.
But they get the bumblebee eye when my meat rise. I get it cracking like a bird egg with my third leg. I got three thighs. I'm too silly, my juice chilly, no C-bob. I look better than you do, and I dress better than you too. But I can steal your boo-boo, wearing fubu and some felines. Then let my whole crew screw, and run the train like choo-choo. I'm cuckoo, I let her suck on my testes. Then I started to breastfeed like a baby, I got cuckoo. Screw you, I wanna say that they're lay face, cause they fake. When I eat they food, it's the only time I don't say grease. Wait, I'm that nigga. If they compare me to rap niggas like them URL or smack niggas, I'm a feeling starter than smack niggas. Fuck hitting you chump niggas with punchlines, I'm a punch nigga. Slap you cats with an open paw and ball my fist to a broken jaw. You not sick as cash, so why battle? You niggas trash. I'd rather see Nicki and K Michelle battle for who got the biggest ass.
Yeah.
Tripping cash.
I say shit to make niggas laugh, but can care less if they find it funny, cause I'm on the grind trying to find the money. All kind of money, that crime money. Yeah, that Teflon dime money. I got that not due time money. I don't need that bail and bond money. I got guap, but if I stop getting this crime money, I'ma pitch weed and get my seeds. Get my wife and my mom money. Come on now, what the hell is going on now? Radio ratings is going down, me needs on porn now. So a lot of people like,
I wonder how her daughter feels.
Her daughter gonna be rich when she get that shower pole endorsement deal.
Ew.
Her daughter still gonna be able to look in the mother eyes. Cause all you groupies made movies, that shit just ain't get publicized.
Yep.
So me, it's cool to fucking suck cock, but last season you got implants. This season you need some bus shots.
No, why you keep coming at her, Cass?
I ain't even coming at her ass, I'm just trying to help her get a fatter ass. Cause that flatter ass had me cracking up just like shattered glass. Or world star, like honestly, is this porno or comedy? I'm crazy as hell, but I got the white lady for sale. And I got that Slim Shady for sale. Anything to get paid, I'ma sell. If you can't have kids, I even got a baby to sell. It's like, nah, but guess what? I'll probably get you one if the check cut.
Yup.
I'm sick in the head, I need to go get a checkup. But ain't nothing free, I'm a fucking G. If you fuck with me, then you effed up.
Yup.
I've either took your life with a butcher knife, get your neck cut. Had your family all dressed up in the church screaming,
that's messed up.
I kill shit real quick, it ain't a long wait. I steal shit and spill ill shit. Ain't none of you rapper songs safe. On some real shit. Hey yo, I go by the name of Cassidy, and y'all know I got nothing but bars. It's like I'm bodying everything. I'm taking niggas' beats, I'm doing them over,
making them knock even more, and then I'm fucking them up with nothing but punches. I got niggas under pressure right now. I know y'all sitting in your house with a long face, all sad, like, oh, this nigga blacking out again. What the fuck we gonna do? I gave y'all a little time to run with that weak-ass flow, that watered-down-ass rap, but now Bars is back. Y'all niggas is about to suffer for the shit y'all put the real hip-hop fans through. Word to my mother, I'm about to start blacking out all day, every day. Ain't no beat safe. Anything that I hear, even if I halfway like it and a bunch of other motherfuckers fucking with it, I'ma kill it. That's it. It's so...
Because I died from an accident.
Yeah, so, anyway. Couple of shows I've been watching. I don't think I've put this over yet. Another non-sponsor. Impractical Jokers, man. I came on this way late, so it's, you know, fucking hilarious. Fucking, like, improv, hidden camera type shit. Fun fucking show. Bar Rescue is another one I've been watching where, you know, it's funny because, you know, I don't drink, you know, a year and a half or whatever. You know, this summer I'll be 2 years fucking sober. Crazy. But even, you know, within my huge alcoholism, I was never really a bar guy. I was a drink at home type of dude, but something about it I like a lot. And the first thing I like a lot is the dude that does the bar rescue, John Taffer, whatever the fuck his name is. He goes in there and he just, like, tells him, like, yo, fire that motherfucker right there. Fire him or I'm fucking leaving. Shut this fucking show down. I won't help you at all. Fire that asshole right now. You know? And I think that's cool as hell. I like that type of go-get-it type attitude. But, you know, and he takes a lot of these shitholes. The other part that I really, really like about it is the transformation. I think that's my favorite part about it, is seeing, like, you know, in 3 days, they rename and rebuild all these fucking bar establishments. And there goes my phone again. I don't know if you can hear that, but that's Gizmo singing. If you can't, that's what's happening in my ear. But he takes a lot of these shithole establishments and, you know, turns them around, fucking renames them, changes maybe not the theme of them always, but really switches them up. So, I mean, you walk in, it looks like a whole new fucking joint. So I think that's pretty cool. There's a lot of those, like, renovation type things that I like. I don't really watch a lot of them. Catch a Contractor is awesome with Adam Carolla. I'm a huge Carolla fan anyway. But they go in, these contractors completely fuck up somebody's house, and they go in there and fix it up, and you see, like, the transformation is crazy. And, you know, like, the shows are just paying out thousands upon thousands of dollars to fix up these joints, both on the bar side of things and the house side of things with Carolla. But, you know, it's the ratings and the sponsors and all that shit that pays it right back. But I just think it's cool as hell. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of that shit. What else? The Super Bowl. So, I'm very happy about the outcome of the Super Bowl. The fucking Seahawks are my most hated football team on the planet. Go in from the start. You got fucking dickhead Marshawn Lynch cutting his bullshit sure, don't get fined, bullshit. And you got Richard Sherman yelling like an asshole. Let me touch on Richard Sherman, all right? A lot of people online have turned this into, like, a race thing, because when he was freaking out and yelling, you know, Crabtree, don't you ever talk about me, you know, and all that shit. There was like a reporter or somewhere in the media, he was called a thug. And I said it back then, and I'll say it again. That reason was, and it was legitimate. It wasn't because they were saying all black people are thugs. It was because they were saying this fucking guy is on the fucking TV acting like Busta Rhymes.
motherfucker, I only use bust around because of the dreads and, like, busties. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, dude is yelling some rapper shit at the fucking screen and the TV. Nobody else in the NFL is doing that. You know what I mean? So when you become this rowdy, rah-rah, fucking, don't you never talk about me, son, type dude, that's what your image looks like. You know what I mean? That's what you look like. I mean, it's not a black and white thing. It's really not. When fucking Gronk was in the fucking club punching the fucking floor and breaking his fucking forearm or whatever he broke, they're like, look at this fucking big musclehead fucking idiot. They didn't call him a musclehead idiot because he's white. They called him a musclehead idiot because he's acting like a musclehead idiot. But go, you're fucking punching the floor in the club? What kind of douchebag, meathead asshole move is that? I mean, it's the same type of thing. Now, I mean, obviously it's different, but what I'm saying is you get what you put out there. It's not a fucking race thing. And I can't stand it when fucking people try to come to the rescue of assholes that put themselves out there in a certain light. If you like him acting wild and fucking asinine like that, then fine, that's what you like. But at least call it what the fuck it is. It's unprofessional. It's definitely unprofessional. I mean, come on, man. There's people over time who have been, you know, one of the best or considered, you know, the top of their position or whatever. Even look at Deion. Deion did shit flashy. Deion wasn't screaming at the camera every time it panned to him. I'm the best right here, number 21. You don't see the motherfucker on the other team doing it. I mean, this is what Richard Sherman is doing, you know? And these motherfuckers actually tried to call him a class act after that game. We're posting shit on Facebook because he went up and shook Tom Brady's fucking hand, you know, as Tom Brady's kneeling down and the clock's counting down and his team just lost the fucking Super Bowl. He was the first one to walk over the line and fucking shake Tom Brady's hand. While Tom Brady was still down on his knee and all this shit. Number one, what choice does he have at that point? He can't talk shit. He can't talk any more shit. He just lost. He has no choice but to be humble. Is he humble in victory? Fuck no. That dude, years ago, this is a couple of years ago now, when it was him and Tom Brady had words, was... he was running his mouth towards the beginning of the game. And Tom Brady more or less said, come see me after the game. Come talk to me after the game. Like, more or less telling him, like, enough with this bullshit. You got something to say to me, come say it to me after the game. Now, mind you, Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Straight up. Straight up. And Richard Sherman feels that he can just go run up and talk to fucking people that's one of the greatest of all time, like there's some douchebag rookie quarterback, and just get in their face and yap, 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 and all that bullshit. That's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't have any fucking respect. You get a guy who's one of the greatest quarterback of all time, and instead of being humble and just understanding that I'm blessed to be on the field with this fucking dude, be competitive. You know, do whatever you want to do, but to really go get in the face of a guy on the level of Tom Brady, for what? For what the fuck are you trying to prove? What's wrong with you? So then after the game, fucking run it at him because Seattle happened to win the game. He fucking comes running. You mad, bro? You mad, bro? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Dude, you're still talking to one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, who now has 4 Super Bowl rings and you have 1 Super Bowl ring. So what choice does fucking Richard Sherman have but to, after this game, go shake his hand and be like, oh, man, thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you for, I mean, what the fuck else am I going to do? They're calling him a fucking class act because of that. Not to mention, earlier in the game, Richard Sherman felt the need to, when the camera panned over to him, after the guy Revis was covering scored in the end zone, camera pans over to him. He's going, number 24 just got beat. Number 24, he just got beat. That's why I'm the best. That's why I'm the best. Number 24. Really? You need to wave your arms around and talk about that guy just got scored on, so you're the best? Is that really what the best needs to do? Because I'm pretty sure no matter who you are, everybody else should determine that you're the best, not you. When the fuck did you see Tom Brady running around going, I'm the fucking best? I'm the fucking best. Look at me. I got four rings. Look at all the fucking shit I've been doing. I got four. When do you see Peyton Manning doing that shit? He's one of the fucking best. Have you seen Joe Montana run around talking about he's the fucking best? No. That's why Richard Sherman is a dickhead. So cut the bullshit with, oh, I'm sure they're going to call him a thug now. Shut the fuck up. There's people who are legitimately racist. There's people legitimately being held down. And to try to turn this type of shit into that type of shit is ridiculous, because he puts himself out there as an unprofessional asshole, and the first time he fucking extends his hand because he was humbled, because he got fucking beat. He's not humble in victory, but he's humble in defeat, so now he's a class act? Get the fuck out of here. Fuck Richard Sherman. And fuck everybody that defends him, too. He's not the fucking best in the NFL. He's not a fucking man-covering wide receiver. He got beat during that game, too. And fucking, he didn't get beat for a touchdown. And he is very, very talented. I'm not saying he ain't shit. I'm just saying, for the most part, they zone cover. If he was the best in the league, they would man cover, and they would put him on the best receiver in the game. They'd look, they'd say, well, that's our biggest threat. Put Sherman on that guy. They don't fucking do that. They don't do that because he's not just a shutdown fucking corner. They do that with Revis. So if Revis gets beat by your best fucking receiver, shit happens because that's your best receiver. It's ridiculous. And then another guy, fucking Baldwin Jerkoff, he called himself the emotional leader of the team, and sometimes you just have to be a leader and this and that. And him, he fucking went over, scored a touchdown, and did a celebration where he was shitting the ball out in the end zone of the fucking Super Bowl. This is the fucking class you talk about with the Seattle Seahawks. Well, the fucking game's over. They're going to kneel the fucking ball down. Motherfuckers start throwing punches. This is the class you talk about with the Seahawks. But they want to bitch and talk about, oh, the Patriots are cheaters because of the ball, and it's deflated. Well, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Because first off, between now and 2011, the Seattle Seahawks have more people that have violated for performance-enhancing drugs than any other team in the NFL. So somehow the fucking Patriots are cheaters. The Patriots are cheaters. You can find a bunch of shit that goes on. Pete fucking Carroll more or less skipped the fuck out of college, and he was stripped a national championship and a fucking Heisman Trophy because he cheated so fucking much in college. So, yeah, I mean, get off the dick of this motherfucking Seahawk team. Bullshit-ass fucking Seahawks. 12th man, my dick. You motherfuckers is gone, too. You watch how many fucking fans drop off next year, because I'm telling you, the Niners are going to be back. Fucking serious shit, man. New coaching staff. We're going to have a lot of new fucking faces around there. Our defense is going to be fucking ridiculous. I don't know if Marshawn, I'm just here so I don't get fined, is even going to be back in fucking Seattle. And that's half their fucking offense. So, you watch. But, man, that fucking game was great. That was a great game. Suspense out the ass. Again, everybody has said this, but the fucking dickhead, don't run the ball with one of the best running back, if not the best running back, in the fucking league from the one-yard line. They throw an interception, game over. It's absolutely ridicular. On Artie Lang's podcast, it's funny. He's like, you got to give credit to the defense. Not only that they made the play, but because anybody in the world would think that they're going to run Marshawn Lynch. Only a retard would not run Marshawn Lynch. So not only did they make a great play, they also guessed a retarded person would be calling the plays and saw that coming. How do you see a retarded play coming? It's insane. And but yeah, I mean, it was amazing, and to see the Seahawks losing the fucking Super Bowl again. Hey man,
We're fucking 5-1. You guys are 1-2. Just like that 12 on your fucking silly little flag. Put a dash in between it. You're 1-2. So it's all good. Like I said, we'll be back next year. You don't know shit about a dynasty. You got to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. That ain't dick. The commercials, you know, were pretty fucking dark as I played the sound clip. I thought that was pretty crazy.
Because I died from an accident.
And I didn't understand that commercial very much because they're like showing this stuff, you know, like, oh, well, I'll never be able to do this. And I'll never be able to do that. I wish I could do that, but I can't because I died in an accident. And then it's like, buy this insurance. What the fuck is the insurance going to do for your dead kid? Are you talking about, like, the money is going to make up for your dead kid? Or, I mean, what exactly are we trying to accomplish when we're going, the kid is dead and he's never going to fucking be able to get married? However, if you have this insurance, then what? However, if you have this insurance, go ahead and fill in the blanks for me because I don't really understand how the insurance is going to change a whole lot about you having a dead kid who can't do any of the shit he wanted to do. So I really didn't understand other than trying to make people sad during the Super Bowl. I didn't really understand where you're going with that one. So that was something. Perry did the halftime thing, dressed in a bunch of silly little outfits, looked like Bam Bam Bigelow, and then dressed in a little like a beach ball type thing. Just I don't know, just a bunch of ridiculous shit. It is what it is. I mean, it's supposed to be like a showy. More a visual thing than it actually is, like a, you know, a musical performance. I mean, you get what you can for that type of thing. Missy being there is, yeah, that's kind of cool. But, yeah, and I don't understand really the reason for having Lenny Kravitz come out to sing I Kissed a Girl. That's pretty much well known there, buddy. So, yeah. Happy with the Super Bowl. Definitely happy with the Super Bowl. Trying to think if there's anything else. Watch Louis C.K.'s new stand-up special, which I didn't know existed. And just, you know, randomly was talking to somebody. And they're like, yeah, I watched. Asked him, hey, did you watch this? No, I was watching a Louis thing instead. I'm like, what fucking Louis thing? Apparently he's got a new special on his website. He's funny as fuck, man. I can't get enough of Louis, Bill Burr. Like, those are my dudes right there. And, you know, one of the very few things that I don't have a problem in the world with giving that dude my money every time he puts something out. You go on his website, I think it's like louisck.com or whatever, but, you know, you find it, you Google it. $5. $5 for a special. It's, you know, a little over an hour. Fucking hilarious, all new stuff, you know, $5, you know, puts it right on your, you know, download it right onto your computer, you know, pay with Amazon or whatever the fuck you want to pay with. Yeah, well worth it. Fucking awesome special. And I love that comedians are doing this way, especially guys like Louis, like the big name comedians, because I mean, you can put shit out on DVD, you can put shit out on like they used to do the pay-per-views or even like a Showtime thing. But this is where the actual comic is getting the fucking money rather than, you know, whatever network, and they wind up with whatever. Half the time the consumer pays way, way more, and the actual artist, the comedian, gets shit in comparison. They need to do a lot more of this type of thing with music and with, you know, with movies and stuff like that. Bring the fucking prices down, you know? I mean, people are going to steal your shit online any fucking way. You guys are charging, you know, $20, $30 for different things. A whole album is fucking the same price that it used to be to buy a CD in the store. Get over that shit. This is why people steal things, because you put it at the same price range as it was 10 years ago. I mean, you got to get with the times. You bring down the price and up the amount of sales, and you make a lot more fucking money.
I mean, these indie companies are still $15-$20 for an iPay-per-view or a DVD. You got to find a way to shave fucking costs and just rack up the numbers of sales. It's absolutely insane. But, you know, is what it is. Some people know how to do it the right way. It's, you know, why they're successful. I think that's about all I got for this week. I'll be back next week talking more shit. Definitely have a bunch more to talk about. And I gotta get back on my shit about getting guests and stuff, because it's been a minute since I had a guest. Partially lazy. That's a lot of it. And I use the term lazy very loosely, because I work fucking 6 days a week. I train my ass off, you know, after work and all this stuff. But, you know, beyond that, going just the distance that I need to as far as effort towards doing internet stuff. Like the show, I need to post a little bit here on there on Facebook, but there's different contacts that if I really, really pushed, I could get some pretty good guests, I think, and I could do different things. But, you know, it's a little time-consuming, and over time, I'll try to get it together. Like I said, hopefully going to get another guest soon. I definitely want to try to toy with some different things and change the interview format a little bit. I'm just getting a little tired of the same old, and I'm sure everybody else is. You go through the same old list of questions that a lot of people will ask on every single podcast or interview. And I want to try to break away from that mold a little bit. But, you know, we'll see how things go. Could be a colossal failure. But anyway, that's about it, guys. Check out Wrestling Soup. They do their show tomorrow night. The Sports Den should be on tonight. And, man, Chef Dude will be gloating his motherfucking ass off, because he's a Pats fan. So I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. Check out my dude, Andrew and Stephanie. Stephanie's not my dude, but you know what I mean. My people over there at Stern Nation. I'm not sure if they're doing a show this weekend. They've actually been taking some time off, but you can always check out their archives, talking about old Stern shows and some of the guests that they've had. You can check them out on Facebook, and check out the We Want Blood podcast. I think those guys are pretty good dudes. They have some pretty strong opinions on things, and I like that. They're not scared to, you know, say what the fuck they feel. And I like an unfiltered show that don't just, you know, play by the rules and suck everybody's cock. So I like that. You know, check them dudes out there, too, and tell them J-Cat sent you. Why not? So, yeah, I think that's all I got. I'll talk to you motherfuckers next week. Peace.
Welcome to Cold Cuts Day!